It's Friday. It's finally Friday. I have to say, yesterday when I was walking out, I saw a couple salespeople. I saw Kevin McDonough. I saw Brett the Engineer. And yeah. I said, have a good weekend, everybody.
Oh, you thought yesterday was the end of the line.
Yep.
No, you saw your five-day work week goes Monday through Friday.
That stinks.
What made you believe that it was over?
It just felt like a Friday. It felt like I had had my fill for the week, and it felt like as I was leaving yesterday, I won't see people for a while. Have a great weekend.
When they let you know that your calculations were off by a day, how did you react? Were you upset?
I said, oh, crap. Because I'm not swearing now.
No, I know. You're being much more polite in your language. Oh, that's excellent. Well done. Well done. Thanks for covering for me yesterday. Midway through the show, I lost interest. I don't know what happened. I just...
Kim and I mentioned, you said you were bored and you just put your headphones down. That's rude.
Yeah, it is rude. I shouldn't have done it. I don't know.
Somebody thought you were going to look for your kettle corn. What's the name of it?
Oh, the boom chicka boom kettle corn? No, I've got a decent supply at the house now, and the one flavor that you told me exists is the peanut butter and chocolate. As it turns out, that's only sold at one location in Chicagoland. I'll make it there. I'm going to get there.
Well, don't say where it is
I don't want to say where it is.
They will buy it. People will listen
hear it and buy it. So don't. But in the near future, I'm going to make a trip over to that place and get some. I'll bring some in.
What's
you want to try it
boom,
too.
Boom chicka boom.
It's some variation on that. I don't remember.
It was boom chicka pop.
Boom chicka pop.
Yeah,
that sounds right.
Well, boom chicka boom is what the song that plays in
from
my head
Archies.
When I walk.
Boom, that, is that what's playing?
Boom, chicka boom.
All right, seriously, I had to go yesterday. I mentioned this on the show about a week ago that a friend of mine had a heart attack. This was in October.
Is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine now. Okay. He's more than fine. He's better than ever. He lost 20 pounds. He's changed his diet. He was always in really good shape. He's a tennis player. He's in great shape, but... he was having chest pains in a very certain part of his chest where your heart is, like dead center where the heart is. He said to his girlfriend, boy, this has been an awful day. I've had this horrible pain here all day long. She goes, you're going to the doctor now. He goes, it's ridiculous. I'll go tomorrow. I'll sleep through it.
Typical
she
man,
goes, no,
putting it off.
That's what I do all the time. I'll wait and see what happens. So he went to an immediate care place. And they did an EKG on him, and they said, we're getting you into an emergency room right now. And as they're having this discussion, he had a heart attack there at the emergency care, the immediate care. They told him when all was said and done that if he wasn't at a hospital when he had this, he'd be dead. That'd be the end of him. So I'm listening to the story, and I go, show me where the pain was. And he shows me on his chest where it was. And at that point, I'd been having for a week a pain exactly where his was.
And you say I'm a hypochondriac?
But you know how when somebody presents you with that sort of information?
I've had everything, including tsetse fever.
You had tsetse
fever? I don't even know if that's it. I know
dengue fever.
Okay, from the tsetse fly.
Yeah, the tsetse fly gives you dengue fever. You can't have a dengue fly give you tsetse fever.
All right, well,
that's
I had something because someone else had it. So I get you, but...
You had Dutch Elm's disease once.
I know.
You can't have that's for trees.
It took me a while to clear that up.
You can't have that.
But I honestly, I'm not saying you're a hypochondriac, but when you sometimes too much information is not good in your hands.
I'm not I know hypochondriacs, and I'm not that. I'm almost the opposite because I'm such a fraidy cat when it comes to anything with needles or blood tests that I could get hit by a bus and be cut in half, and I'll go, you know what?
I'm good.
I'm going to wait a few days. We'll see what happens. I don't want to go to the hospital. So I'd try my best, if something is wrong, to go, no, time will heal all wounds. I'll be fine.
Not that wound.
But not that wound. So I had to go in yesterday, and what they did a series of stress tests. And here's I think, the most amusing part of it. I'm very virile, Wendy. You know this. They have to hook up electrodes to various parts of your chest.
Oh, you mean you're very hairy.
Let's go with virile.
Okay.
You could say that a byproduct of my virility is that I grow hair.
What does your virility have to do with the monitor?
Well,
and then I figured it out.
It's
all right.
The hair. So... I get a very apologetic, Mr. Left, we're going to have to shave part of your chest. So, I'm always the jester. I go, if you could do a Blackhawks logo, I'll give you $15. So I know that's not going to happen. So they shave my chest to do the electrodes, and then you do this stress test where you run on a treadmill. When I run on a treadmill, I always have it set at 2. They have it set at 8, and it keeps picking up speed every 3 minutes. So
are
after
they trying
a while,
to give you a heart attack?
They're not trying to, but they want to see what your heart can take, because they take video of you prior to this, and then immediately, within 3 seconds after, just to see if your heart reacts similarly, and mine does.
How long do you have to do that? Running at full speed? And
they want a minimum of 6 minutes, but up to, I think she said 15 minutes.
Does it go gradual, or does it just go from...
It jumps every 3 minutes. So at the beginning, it's ridiculously slow. And then they warn you with a couple seconds. They go, it's going to start going faster, and... They insist that you hold it. Like when you run on a treadmill at a health club, you're not holding on, but they want to protect themselves. Make sure you're holding on. So I was holding. I didn't need to. But then once it gets up past 9 minutes and then into 12 minutes.
And the incline.
And the incline is at 8. So you're essentially running all the way up a hill. So it's very taxing.
Did you ever make it to the top of the hill?
No, I didn't make the 15 minutes. I got to 12 and a half yesterday. And honestly, I could have gone more. But you're sweating. I was sweating so profusely. Another byproduct of the virility that I said, as we got to 11 or 12, I go, I'm going to do 12 and a half. So she goes, oh, that's more. That's fine. You're fine. Right. All right. So when that was done, they look at my results and they go, this is not your heart is fine. Everything they said, this is the easiest read for the day. Your heart is absolutely fine. So then I was also scheduled to have a heart monitor put on today. And they said, as long as you're here, do the heart monitor now, right? And I go, yeah, I'm here. It's ridiculous. So I come back tomorrow. So I go into another room with another nurse. And she looks at me and she goes, I'm going to have to shave you.
Man, you're virile. That's what she said.
But I had already been shaved. Oh, so I said,
what?
I know. Well, they hook up different. I could show you, but no, that's too much. It's International Women's Day. Come on. So... So they attach this long, it's a long strip of tape, and then the monitor's in the middle. It's right here, yeah. Right? So she goes, it looks like you've already been shaved. And I was shaved less than an hour prior. And I said, oh, funny thing. I said, when I was in the waiting room, one of the customers, one of the other patients shaved me. And I'm of course kidding. And this is her reaction. She like takes it in. She does that thing, you know, where you move your head back and you look off into space to try to figure out how that could be possible. And here's what she says. She goes, show me which patient.
They were going to get in trouble.
They were going to get in serious trouble because patients shouldn't be shaving each other. This is a hospital.
I don't know how people deal with you.
No.
And I know that your comedy is because you're a little afraid, too.
Oh, I was scared. I mean...
But that makes everybody easier. It makes it all easier.
Once I was told nothing was wrong with my heart. And oh, here was another interesting thing that the lady who did the scan did. She's showing me, and it's, I mean, it's similar to like when you have a baby. It's like that ultrasound thing where they put some sort of...
Jelly.
Yeah, they put Knott's Berry Farm jelly on you, and then they move the scanner up and down on you. And I even said to her, I go, don't tell me if it's a boy or girl because I want to be surprised. And she didn't. That didn't work for her. So,
really? Because that's super funny.
That's pretty funny. But then she pulled one out on me. She reversed the tale. She said, she goes, do you drive a Mercedes? And I go, no, I don't drive a Mercedes. Why would you ask that? And she said, because look. And she showed me part of my heart has what looks like the Mercedes-Benz logo.
Is that normal?
Do most people have that? I go, I swallowed a hood ornament when I was in high school, again with the comedy. She goes, no, that's normal. Most people have it. She goes, but yours is more rounded, like the Mercedes-Benz logo. So I'm going to see if Mercedes-Benz will give me, you know, just for fun, just give me a car because I got that going on with my heart. I'm sure they will.
And put it on Instagram.
Right.
I bet
wouldn't
they
that be
would,
funny?
Yeah.
Yeah, pick out a car, Bill. It looks like you got the logo there in your ventricle.
So you're okay.
My heart's fine. So whatever's causing this uneasiness is not my heart.
Did you have this uneasiness before we got back together?
I get it. Mondays starts around 10 and then Fridays around 1 it goes away. It could be anything. I have no idea what's causing the stress.
Because I try to de-stress you. I don't try to stress you out.
No, of course.
Not anymore. I used to.
Changed? I wonder what changed. But, you know, what's weird is I have to always preface, like, whoever I talk to in a hospital, I have to give them a side note of saying, if we could do this without an injection, without a needle, Like, no matter what it is, like when they take my blood pressure, I go, you're not going to,
there's no needle that sticks out.
Why would we give you a needle for blood pressure? And I go, I don't know. I just, and then I always have to explain to them. And they're always, they go, wow, why, what are you so afraid of? And I go, I don't know. It's an irrational fear. I can't help it. Because they suggested yesterday, they go, we could do, if you want to do some blood work. I go, if I want to do blood, no, I don't want to do blood work. Who comes in going, please, if we could just do some blood work, that'd be the best thing in the world.
Well, people come in and do that if they're trying to figure out why they're having pains in their chest.
I know.
Although I don't know what blood work would do.
I'm not sure either.
I think, full screening.
I think there's just something in your blood, like they can see something. They go, "Well, you have way too much of this or way too little of this. It's probably from your hemoglobin." Sometimes I'll throw out a medical word like that. Like I said to the lady yesterday who scanned me, I go, "How's my superior vena cava looking?" And she just looks at me like, "Well, ooh, somebody watches House."
All right, virile yet vulnerable.
Yeah, I'm virile and I'm vulnerable. I'm the two V's. I'm the double V.
Which is a W.
Yeah.
Why isn't it called the double V? Because a W looks like two V's.
Oh, boy, you're on it. I never thought about that, but you that is the truest axiom ever.
Because you are double V boy.
Yeah.
Wait, that doesn't sound.
That sounds, you know what, though, on International Women's Day, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's a tribute is what it is.
Well, I thought you were going to have to leave today to get something done, but you got the monitor done.
Originally, I'd have to go back today for them to do the monitor, but they pulled some strings, as they say in the medical business, Wendy, and they were able to do it all in one day. But now for a week, I have this thing on, and they go,
what about showering?
Don't get wet. I go, because I shower at least once a week, you know.
Do you have to take it off? No, I can't take it off.
I have to shower from a certain angle where the water only gets me on the back.
Have Terry wrap you in saran wrap.
That's a game we play on my birthday.
When I had my knee surgery,
who wants to play the happy mummy? That's what we say at the house.
I couldn't wait to take a shower, and with an incision, I think you have to wait like 48 hours or something, because they use super glue now. They don't even use stitches.
I know.
But you're still not really supposed to get it wet, and I bought like generic saran wrap and just kept wrapping and wrapping and wrapping, and then duct tape.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Because I had to take a shower. I didn't.
Yeah.
And that's like a weird spot.
It's near a spot that if you're showering correctly, you're going to get wet, right? So then I said, they go, because I already filled out a form, and they go, it says here you're very active. I work out every day. They go, well, not this week. And I already took last week off because my doctor told me, until you have the stress test done, why don't we go a little easy? So everything is altered just a little bit, but only through Thursday. Then we're back to normal. She also showed me, I can't show you the monitor, but there's all kind. Now, you know my flair for anything electronic.
Yes, right? You're not very.
I can't do anything, right? So it's an oval, and then there's buttons and lights on different parts of it, you know? So she said, if you're feeling any discomfort, press this button once, and if you see a yellow light, press this button. But if you see a white button, press this button twice. And
I go, I already forgot
I'm
that.
Done. I go, you're going to have to come with me. Maria, you're going to have to come with me for a week because I'm already lost. So I got a pamphlet that's 9 pages. And she said, whatever happens, the answer's in this pamphlet. So just keep this with you. And it's at home. I forgot it today.
I bet you could look it up online.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Because a lot of things don't even come with instructions anymore.
I know.
You look at the you look up the
YouTube
manual. At their website. Oh. Although I will say that I bought a IKEA shelving unit, and the instructions didn't make a lot of sense to me at first. I know you're shocked because there are no words. It's just pictures of people, and you know, have a friend help you pick it up because if by yourself, there's a big X because the big unit falls on you.
Randy Johnson?
No, not
he's
Randy.
He's the big unit.
Yes, I know, but not this particular.
Okay. Do they still use, like, we've bought two things from IKEA, and it was years and years ago, and it was larger people who didn't have clothes on.
I didn't really pay attention.
It was we got a curio cabinet and a small desk, and they showed the people building it were like, they were plump people, and they were without clothing, and I didn't know, I know it's from, it's a Scandinavian country, right? A Scandinavian company.
Yeah, but
IKEA.
I don't think you got it from IKEA.
It might have been it was Nakia.
Yeah, because
it was naked, fat, naked people, IKEA.
This was just like an outline of a person. I mean, I guess they weren't, you know, a stick figure so skinny, anything other than a stick figure is going to look heavy to you.
Well, I thought it was strange that they had the option of just drawing stick figures, but somebody chose a more robust couple to build this particular curio cabinet.
Oh, you had a couple. I had two men.
Oh.
Mine.
Oh.
But anyway, I couldn't really, I mean, you know, they explain, the two sides of the cabinet have like two little holes on the upper portion.
Yeah.
And then there are two sides that don't. But I mean, they don't really like
no detail.
No, like tell me.
Right.
Hey, two sides have two upper holes and
yes.
two don't. You want them this way. So I cheated and watched a YouTube video.
Oh.
There's an IKEA dude or something like that. And he puts together.
Oh.
I just Googled, IKEA. Whatever it was called, shelving unit, Calyx, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And, you know, like five videos pop up, so I watched them put it together.
And these are not affiliated
no,
with IKEA, these are customers.
Who have YouTube videos.
Oh, that's helpful, though.
100%. So I watched that, and I'm like, oh, okay. And the second step, putting little wooden dowel rods to connect the shelving units, I put it in the wrong spot. Have you ever half-twisted a little dowel rod into a hole? It's pretty tight once
mm-hmm.
you get it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if you have to take it out?
It's not undoable? You can't undo it?
I put it in a little too tight, and I have blisters on my fingers.
Oh, no, still?
Trying to get it out, I couldn't. I didn't want to break it. So the Better Business Bureau gave us these little, they're like a rubber circular thing that you use to open a jar so you can get a good grip on
those.
It.
Yeah.
I ran up to the kitchen drawer, got one of those, unscrewed the dowel with it because I could get a good grip on it. Good as new. And then
that's perfect.
That was the only mistake I made, and I only put two little dowel rods in, so I only had to get two out.
What's a dowel rod?
A little piece of wood. When you
why
have
is it called
shelving,
a dowel rod?
I don't know why it's called that. Although I learned something from Lou Manfredini today. There was a little House Smarts promo, and he
yeah.
was saying that housewarming parties are called that because back in the old days when people bought houses pre-electricity, people would come to your house and bring you wood for your fire to keep. So it was a housewarming party.
That makes total sense.
I know.
I always assumed, incorrectly, that it was to make your house more warm. We will bring you homey things that you can hang or put around your house to make it a more warm home.
Well, but it is physically
literal.
Warmer, yeah.
Oh, I didn't
literally.
Know that.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Lou Manfredini to the rescue once again.
A dowel is a cylindrical rod usually made from wood, plastic, or metal in its original manufactured form. A dowel is called a dowel rod, and it's just to fill
they
up
called me that when I was in prison. I got that almost every day.
I don't think
hey,
that's a
rod.
Compliment.
I don't, well.
Dowel.
D-O-W-E-L. No, they called me dowel
rod. Because they're really skinny.
I was younger then, if that makes any sense.
The wooden dowel rod used in woodworking applications is commonly cut into dowel pins, which are used to reinforce joints and support shelves and other components in cabinet making.
Oh.
Because how else are you going to get a shelf to stick on something?
Right, you need that.
There are little pieces of wood that stick out, and then the shelf
lays on top.
Or there are little holes in the side of the shelf, which is what mine had, and you had to kind of get it in there.
Oh.
And then it supports it. And then when you put screws and assemble the whole thing,
yes.
it's pretty sturdy.
I'm sure of it.
But thank God there was a YouTube video because that
was
so.
Not just one, you said a bunch. Other people went there and went, even though other people have explained this, I can do it better.
Yeah, but there was a disturbing one. Like, I think he's called, like, IKEA Hunk or something.
Mm.
Oh, I guess it was a little fat guy.
A fat naked guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that was.
Isn't
yeah.
that something that they would still go with the show
the
me
IKEA,
the picture?
Man.
Yeah, that's the same guy that was on mine. And his wife,
yeah.
his wife.
I didn't have his wife.
Della was also there.
I like that, man.
Because I said to myself, if this fat naked couple from somewhere in Scandinavia could build this curio cabinet, I probably might be able to also.
So were you able to?
Not as good. We had a door on it that would either always remain closed or always open. You had no option. There was no swing on it. You know, like with...
That's done wrong.
What? Yeah, I definitely did that wrong. You know how a curio cabinet, if everything goes according to plan, you could open it or close it wherever you wanted to. This, yes. You had the option. You could either leave it closed... Or you could undo the whole system, open the door, and leave it open. There was I did something wrong.
I bet you needed a dowel rod.
Yeah.
Were there shelves in this curio cabinet?
Yes.
So that's what
four
a
shelves.
Dowel rod is, or a dowel pin.
Dowel rod, yes. I didn't know that at the time, though.
All right. Well, I got to find... I think he calls himself like IKEA Hunk or something, and I...
We should get him on the show.
How to assemble IKEA thing. Yeah, IKEA Hunk.
So how many of these has he done over the years? Does he have dozens of them? Like, does he just buy things and just videotapes himself building it?
Yeah, but I'm telling you, it's pretty helpful.
It would be very helpful.
I don't know how many videos he has. Let me see.
We
how
did
many.
One IKEA thing once, a desk. It took us over 3 hours.
Better to
Never
just
again.
Have it built. Do they?
Oh,
does
yeah.
IKEA? I've
yes,
only
they
shop
offer,
there.
It's like they
don't send a guy
bucks.
To the house.
We
or
did
do
it
just...
for my son in his like college apartment.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
So do you have the option of bringing it home pre-built, or do they
no.
send a guy over?
You can't. The whole deal of IKEA and why the prices are so low, I'm telling you, I got this, like, there's 8 cubicles, mm-hmm. and it holds albums perfectly.
Oh, I saw your picture.
Yeah, it's
it
like $109,
great.
And it holds, like, probably 20 albums per shelf.
So to buy that built would be 3 times the cost,
absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
And I think you can, like...
But that probably wasn't that hard, right?
It took me about an hour. It was pretty heavy,
oh,
and I
bad.
Didn't want Jim to help me, because, I mean...
He would have ruined it.
Sometimes, and oh. God love him, but he doesn't
sometimes
have the patience.
Two hands are better than four.
Exactly.
Oh.
Like, we got a new bed 2 weeks ago, and I put it together by myself.
Yeah?
It took me under an hour. It was like 40 minutes. And it was kind of heavy metal, so I... Not
like
rock
Led
and roll.
Zeppelin?
No, like a metal bed.
Oh.
And I needed Jim's help on one point. I'm like, could you just hold this, but don't move.
Right.
Hold this while I put this here and screw it in. But don't move. I kind of like doing it myself. And it's not that he's bad. He has no interest in doing it. And I love doing
oh.
these things.
Oh, I hate it. My husband and I both hate it. We got to get a guy for
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
Well, they, I believe IKEA, like, you can purchase it and get it delivered, and then a different tab that you hit on the IKEA website, I think it would have been like $49 to have somebody come out and assemble it. But then, you know, you got to schedule it, and I wanted it done then, so I did it.
Years ago when we moved into our house, and it was my 40th birthday, and Terry gave me this dream ping pong table, like the best ping pong table I've ever seen. So the option was there to have it either built or you could build it yourself. And she chose, because she knew I couldn't build it and she didn't want to even try it. We had a guy come and he built it, and it took 30 minutes and it's perfect. At the same time, one of my friends had a similar table and he said, "This is ridiculous. I'm going to build it myself." It's still not
yeah.
done right.
Wow.
And it's been 15 years.
Well, is a ping pong table too kind of like a pool table where it needs to be level?
Yeah.
And you
yes.
have to have certain things.
Yes.
Because you don't want to mess with a pool table.
No.
Like, I mean, they're very, very expensive
do
and heavy,
right.
but still, you don't want to mess with it.
Heavy or too big, I will get somebody to assemble.
Yeah.
But this was like a metal bed, just a slat bed, no box spring needed. It was a platform bed, I guess. It was super easy.
And no mishaps, no cut. You didn't move something too fast and mm-mm. cut your skin or anything like that?
No.
See, and I'm impressed you have the confidence to say, I'm going to tackle this. Because when I see a million pieces and instructions with just no words, but
right.
just like arrows and
pictures,
I freak out.
Yeah.
I can't even go there. I just need somebody
yeah,
else to do it for me. And Wendy, you just tackle it. That's
I like
awesome.
Puzzles. And honestly, this is a big puzzle.
Yeah, I like puzzles too, but I don't like them.
And I've gotten into the habit now just because, I didn't used to read the instructions because your brain tells you this is
I
what you do.
This.
Right,
yeah.
right.
And there's always like a fourth piece where the third piece is supposed to be. So now I go through it. I look at the pictures before I build it.
Yeah.
And I separate, like, you're supposed to have 44 dowel pins. I count them and put them in a pile. You're supposed to have 8 of these long screws, 4 of these short ones. I count them and get everything ready. So I am totally ready to roll.
That's the right way to do it.
So impressed.
Why
so
don't you have a YouTube channel?
I should.
You're going to be Mrs. Fix-It.
Yeah.
This is IKEA Hunk.
Yeah. Well, that's taken. You got to go with a different name.
I wouldn't go.
IKEA
thank
babe,
you.
Hunk
right?
IKEA Chunk.
IKEA
Chunk. 59,000 views. So that's not that
59,000.
That's not that many.
That's impressive.
That's a pretty big amount.
Like, do you think he anticipated when he was doing this?
Yeah.
I bet 59,000 people watched
this.
Yeah,
but he was probably hoping for it. If he calls himself IKEA Hunk,
right?
You know, it's not somebody
comes
who's
built in sales.
Right,
yeah.
I'll tell you, he's pretty good. He's got nice hair, so he stops to like go through his hair every once in a while. He stops to take a sip of beer, then puts it down. So, all right, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
He helped me put it together.
We should definitely have him on. I would love to talk to him.
About what?
Current events.
Well, he's under 80, because right. Most of the people on your list are over 80.
All my dream list is over 80.
He's pretty good looking now, I got to tell you.
All right. Get him on,
we'll get him on.
Add him to the list.
And he puts his beer in his tool belt when...
That means he knows what he's doing, because if I did that...
It's a Red Stripe beer.
Oh.
And he's like, you know, they slow motion the video when he's going through his hair.
Oh, sultry.
Lou's going to get jealous.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to start watching more of IKEA Hunk. I was so desperate to find out how to do it that I wasn't really paying attention to him.
Well,
Yeah,
now you like him.
Ooh,
All right.
Watch it in
slow-mo. Going back to IKEA now.
Yep. All right, let's take a break. We'll get you some news next, and then there's plenty more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Wendy, back to you. Bill, I forgot. Bill. You were gone yesterday.
You just got bored and left.
I lost interest yesterday, Kim. I'm sorry.
I'm glad you're back.
From time to time,
you know,
even
every now
interest.
And then, we'll just give you a little pass.
Sure, well, thank you. I appreciate that. We mentioned on the show earlier that Chicago TV icon Marshall Brodeen had died. We all know him and loved him as Wizzo on Bozo Circus. He was also a fine magician in his own right. And I was thinking, I believe that means that there's only one clown from Bozo Circus still alive, and that's Joey Diaria, who was Bozo version 2.
Yeah, it's not even the original. All the originals are gone,
Bob
right?
Bell is gone.
Isn't that sad? That's a real end of an era, you know?
Yeah. Bob Bell, who played Bozo, is gone. Ray Rayner, who played Oliver, is gone. Don Sandberg, who played Sandy, is gone. Ringmaster Ned is gone. Frazier Thomas is gone. Who am I leaving out?
The Buckets.
The Bucket.
They kicked the Buckets.
Too soon.
Yeah, it kind of is, Kim. Sorry. God, when Kim Gordon has to tell you too soon,
I think
it really
because it's International Women's Day, I think you get a pass on that, so you're fine with the kick the bucket. The Bozo kicked the Buckets.
Wow. Can I just tell you that you can go on Amazon right now and get the TV Magic Show, which includes the TV Magic cards. It's only $26.97, and I can get it by tomorrow.
So this means that they're still, it's not the vintage ones from the 70s.
Yeah, look.
But they're still manufacturing them, right?
I don't know. Dave Plyer said you could get some at the Museum of Broadcast Communications as well.
Now, everyone knows him for the TV Magic cards, which I had as a kid, and I think you said you did too.
Yes.
But there was also TV mystery cards. You don't remember those?
Those weren't his, were they?
Yeah, they were. Yeah, because the packaging was almost identical, because I kept them on my shelf. I kept them right next to each other, and the box was...
So for those of us who did not grow up in Chicago, were these a local thing?
No.
Or anybody...
Well, yes and no. I mean, it was a part of his commercial... Where he would sell these, Marshall Brodeen would come on. And Jess, do we still have the audio of that commercial? Yeah. All right. So I know you grew up in Kentucky, so you may not have had access to this, but it was that you saw this 5 times a day if you lived here in Chicago. Here's the commercial with Marshall Brodeen for TV Magic Cards.
Hi, I'm Marshall Brodeen. You know, most magic tricks are easy once you know the secret. Like this one: stuff any handkerchief in your hand, and with the magic vanisher, presto, you made it disappear. Now take this empty tube. Drop the glass through to convince everyone that it's really empty. Pour some water into the tube. But look, it doesn't go through. Cover it with any handkerchief. Push it through with a pencil. And what happened to the water? Here it is, back inside the glass.
I loved that one.
Those are just some of the 15 tricks you'll find in the TV Magic
tricks, Wendy.
Set.
Yeah, you want to know what the 15 tricks are?
Yes.
I'm pretty excited about this.
What are the 15 tricks that you get as part of this set?
All right. You get the Houdini Chain Escape.
Now, I'm guessing a slightly smaller version than the one that Harry Houdini used on stage. I'm guessing.
Maybe you could use it on your pet parakeet.
The Chinese Prayer Vase.
Oh,
some
I
of these
don't
are
know
coming,
that.
Not coming back to me.
The Chinese prayer vase.
Cups and balls. I remember those.
Right. You had a red ball. I'm sorry. You had a red cup, a blue cup, and a yellow cup, and little spongy balls, and you could move that back and forth.
Yes.
And then when you opened the last cup, there were like 5 of them instead of one.
2-card Monty. Oh, my God. The magic rice bowls.
What was the magic rice bowls?
It was just kind of like that cup that you looked like you were drinking something and it went away. It was like that, but with rice in it, kind of.
My cousin Lori had a doll with a milk bottle.
Yeah.
And when you would tilt it, it would look, it was a full bottle of milk, but the more she drank,
it would look like it was disappearing. Yes.
It was like that.
It was like that. Two card Monty, magic rice bowls, TV magic card deck, number mystery, multiplying rabbits. I remember that. Multiplying lollipop, magic drawer box. That might have been with the coin in it. I don't like that word, coin.
There used to be this magic trick where...
And Squirmel's the magic pet.
I do remember that one. That was like a worm kind of on a string, and you can make it look like it was crawling up and down your finger. Was that it?
Maybe. I think that's what it was.
Do you remember there was a magic trick that every kid who ever did magic had where the end result was you were going to unwrap this thing that was metal, and in the third layer was going to be a little sack in the quarter that you had taken. Like, you'd give somebody a quarter, and you'd say, put a mark on it, and then you'd take it back, and then you'd reach it in a different pocket, and you'd hand them this thing that was like a metal top and bottom that had rubber bands all around it, and then inside was a smaller version of that, and then inside that was a little sack, and their quarter was inside there.
I kind of remember something like that. It was a little plastic thing.
Later
it was plastic. They cheapened it.
And the rubber bands.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
That was to show the person you were showing the magic trick to that there's no way in the world the quarter could be in there, because look at how tightly sealed it is. There's rubber bands all over it. But what it was, I can divulge how you did this, right?
Who cares now?
There was this little metal slide that fit in the middle of it.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
And you'd put a quarter in it, and it would slide to the middle where the sack was, and then you'd pull that slide out. You didn't show them that. So I guess that's a cool trick, right?
Yeah, when you're eight,
hard to explain it.
I'm still amazed by magic tricks, and I know it's a trick. It's there in the name.
It's called magic trick.
Yeah.
Right. There's very few wizards still working the circuit.
And, you know, I've heard this morning that Wizzo was not Wizzo the clown. It was Wizzo the wizard.
Right.
There's a difference.
Yeah. What about this trick? So again, this was every kid that ever did magic somehow got a hold of this. It was a plate of glass, but there was a plastic rim completely around this sheet of glass. So the glass would have been maybe 4 inches by 8 or 9 inches. And then you had plastic all around. And then you also had a plastic thing that went to the center, and there was a circle. You'd put like newspaper or a card or something, and you could put the pen through the glass. And then when you took the pen out, you show them the glass, and it was completely solid again because the glass was on a sliding mechanism.
Right. You just slid a little piece to make it I remember that.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed my TV magic cards. The worm was yellow. They actually are showing inside pictures of it. And the balls were like little yarn pom-poms kind of, weren't they?
Yeah. Right.
God, this was so great.
So now I'm getting it. Like, the TV magic cards were actual tricks on a card.
Well,
I'm thinking they were like collector cards of magicians.
It was a deck of cards.
Okay,
and really,
got it.
I can give away the trick.
Yeah.
It's like, just say two of clubs. There were like
half the deck was that card.
More than half, because what you would do to set up your deck is you would just put a two of clubs and then a random card, then another two of clubs, then a random card.
You
do it through the whole deck of cards. So
I think it had to be every other card had to be...
Yeah, that's what I mean. You'd alternate it.
Yeah.
So you had more two of clubs.
Right.
So then you'd have somebody pick a card, and when they put it back in the deck, you'd see where the pattern was broken, and then you'd be able to go, oh, look, here's your card.
Well, they also... There's this technique with card tricks. I think it's called a shaved deck, I think. So one of the cards has a different sided rim. So if you turn that card upside down and put it back in the deck, you could slide your hand over the deck and that card will automatically come up because the ridge in the card is different. So if you take any one of the 52 cards and reverse it, like take it out of the deck, turn it around and put it back in the deck, you could just slide your hand over it. And it just automatically comes up because it's got a little extra.
Busting my bubble here.
No.
I don't think that's how TV magic cards work,
though. No, TV magic cards were different because with that one, you could show them that the deck was all different cards. But then when you fan the deck the other way,
it was all the two of clubs or whatever.
Right.
And I don't know if that's
the deck, they all became your
card. Do you think David Copperfield and Siegfried and Roy started out with
Actually, David Copperfield said the reason he got into magic was because of this guy, Marshall Brodeen.
Really?
Because as a kid, he bought that trick set. It was like so cool to have the Marshall Brodeen trick set. And other magicians, didn't Penn from Penn and Teller talk about him once, Marshall Brodeen, with us?
Saying I think that so, yeah.
They used to sell his kit, like when they first started doing magic.
Yes.
People wanted in so badly that they had a stand outside and they were selling Marshall Brodeen's. And then Penn said, and then we figured out, let's just make our own kit. We can sell that, and then we'll make the money instead of Marshall Brodeen. So, yeah, he had quite a hand on our generation's magicians because they all saw him on TV and went, wow, I want to do what that guy's doing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be a musician. Well, that too. But yeah. I wanted to be a magician for a very short period of time. But because of those TV magic cards, and God, you know, now I realize how much my family did, in fact, love me.
Oh,
because,
of course.
Oh, my God, I must have showed them the same trick 100 times.
Well, hey, and check you also, this out. Like, looking back on it now, you realize how much work it really takes.
Oh, yeah.
And how the sleight of hand that you have to have to really make people believe it.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. IKEA hunk looks like a fourth Chris Hemsworth brother, which you mentioned.
I said exactly. You showed us the video. I go, that's the missing Hemsworth.
But I have some new information about the IKEA hunk, which Jasmine, I just sent you as information so we can book him. Curious how Wendy Googled IKEA hunk. I just had to watch a video and he took off his flannel shirt because he was working up a sweat.
Is he a former Chippendale?
Is he?
I don't know. We'll find out.
How funny would that be?
Would make sense.
But yes, we wanted to salute Wizzo the Wizard and Marshall Brodeen. What's Hot, What's Cold, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. He really gave me my start in magic, and I tried to do it for a while.
Did you?
And then what age? Birthday parties?
I probably was 8.
Yeah. Oh, you were really little.
So you just did it for your family. You weren't working the circuit.
I was always so excited when it was a magic show birthday party. When you were a little kid, you're like, oh, it's the magic show.
Right.
I'd still, even as an adult.
Me too. I love it. Have you been to the Magic Lounge in Andersonville? I haven't either, but I'd like to go there.
It looks good.
Yeah, it looks fun.
Yeah. We've had them on a few times.
Oh, that's right. I got to go.
We'll get them in. Yep.
All right, well, Marshall Brodeen and Jan Michael Vincent died also at the age of 74, cardiac arrest. But I have to ask you guys something. He died February 10th. There was no autopsy. Yeah, why?
I think with this one, because when you announced his death earlier, I thought, I don't remember the last time I saw him do. I mean, he hasn't worked in years and years and years.
Since 2002.
Oh, that long? I wouldn't have even guessed that long. But maybe just because he was so out of the public eye, not that we've forgotten about him, but...
Yeah, but doesn't he have family members that want to...
mention?
Sometimes people, though, like privacy, and then when everything is all said and done, then they'll announce it.
He died February 10th, and we're just... Today, I got an alert on
almost
my phone.
Almost a month later.
Yeah. Seems weird.
So he was on the TV show Airwolf for a while. We mentioned the Disney film, The World's Greatest Athlete. He was on one of the components of the Banana Splits, the Chongo version.
I don't remember that.
This was, they sent an expedition out into the jungle to find this, like, almost Bigfoot character that was Chongo. And he was the handsome assistant who fell in love with the beautiful girl, of course. That's how things work in Hollywood. Spoiler alert. So he was on that. And then I told you...
No magic involved there.
There's no magic. Well, the magic
of
love.
Well, a little bit of magic.
The magic of love.
Exactly.
And then I told you he's in this movie that I saw in grade school called Buster and Billy. Probably best known as being the first movie that Robert Englund was ever in. That's Freddy Krueger from the Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
We don't care unless he's wearing the striped sweater and the mask.
Right. Robert Englund's other work is nowhere near as well recognized.
Yeah. And doesn't he have the sharp fingernails?
Yeah, when he's Freddy Krueger. In this, he plays a character named Whitey, who has some sort of skin ailment where he's incredibly pale. That's his character thing. So he's the best friend of Buster, who is Jan Michael Vincent. But it was the first movie I ever saw where there was full frontal nudity, both for Jan Michael Vincent and for the woman who played Billy. And when
Jan Michael down there?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And it was
I got to go to that
time...
one Blockbuster and rent it tonight.
You might find it on the YouTube channel by IKEA.
Yeah, you'll find it. I'm sure it's somewhere on the internet. But it was such a jolt to be watching a movie when you're not used to seeing 100% naked people, to seeing two of them, like one after another. You just go, hey, wait a minute. Hey, what are you doing?
In a rural 1940s southern town, a socially awkward high school girl is taken advantage of by the boys.
Yes.
Because it's the only way she knows how to relate to boys. But one, Buster, falls in love with her. The other boys, however, still consider her their convenient squeeze with tragic results.
And they're being kind with the wording because she's a very loose-moraled girl in the story. And Buster's character is dating Pamela Sue Martin at the time.
So it's funny his name would be Buster if he's the nice one.
Yes. Usually.
Didn't even know her.
Right. Well, yeah.
All right.
You could have put that in your if you were a movie reviewer for your school paper in grade school, that could have been your tagline.
I would have been suspended. Or at least in detention. In his 70s heyday, Jan Michael Vincent also starred, as Bill mentioned, in the Tarzan-like character in Disney's The World's Greatest Athlete.
Yeah. Did you ever see that? That was pretty good.
Appeared in the well-regarded endurance horse race actioner Bite the Bullet in 1975.
I remember that one.
He also top-lined the post-apocalyptic Damnation Alley in 77.
Oh, yes! I forgot about Damnation Alley.
And John Milius' Big Wednesday. He played a self-destructive surfer, a role perhaps too close to home.
Yeah.
Vincent reportedly was Universal's choice to portray oceanographer Matt Hooper in Jaws in 1975, but Steven Spielberg went with the more nerdy Richard Dreyfuss instead. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, and that would have been horrible casting. Richard Dreyfuss is perfect as Matt Hooper.
I agree with you. Vincent appeared in Buffalo 66 in 98, but most of his final efforts were lower budget actioners and thrillers, many of which went straight to video.
Yeah.
Survivors include his wife, Patricia.
Oh.
I thought he had kids, too. But yeah, 74 years old, and that just kills me that it wasn't released.
Yeah.
He was in White Line Fever.
Trying to remember White Line Fever. Oh, the trucker.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
Did it say what he died from?
Cardiac arrest. This is saying 73.
He had put on quite... The last time I saw him was a long time ago. You said 2002, and he had put on a bunch of weight.
That doesn't kill you.
No, but for cardiac reasons, that's not in your
best
interest.
Well, it says he had a raft of personal problems and illness sent him on a downward spiral.
Oh.
He died of cardiac arrest at Mission Hospital.
It'll never say that about me, Wendy, because I've maintained a low spiral anyway. I've not had a downward spiral, and I do that for reasons just like this. I don't want anyone to say, wow, he let himself go. That way people can always go, he was always a mess, that guy.
I remember this. You weren't a mess. Vincent, he was, and I remember this. He had a very public battle with drug and alcohol abuse as his career was already on the wane when he was drunk and involved in a 1996 car accident in California that broke his neck and damaged his vocal cords.
Mm.
I remember that in the news.
Mm.
12 years later, he was in another car crash, then contracted an infection that led to two sections of his right leg being amputated. Yeah. He spent his final years broke and living in the South.
Oh, that is terrible.
Which part, the broke or living in the South?
Both.
All of it. Kim, you're from the South.
I know.
You can't say that.
I can say that. No. That really makes me sad.
That's horrible.
You know,
that's no way to go.
So I
want a happier ending for Jan Michael Vincent.
That's really sad.
That's
and I'm
sad.
Just really
and he wasn't even that old.
No.
His career never recovered after the Airwolf show. He just never really
was Ernest Borgnine also on that? For some reason in my head, Ernest Borgnine's part of that. Does it say?
I don't know. Can we take a break and find out?
Yeah. Kim, thank you for hanging out. Kim, listen to the rest of the podcast so you can find out if Ernest Borgnine was an Airwolf. All right. We'll close things off next and then give you the final word on whether or not EB was in Airwolf. I just call him EB. Ernest Borgnine.
Oh, okay. You're that close.
More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
The answer to your question, Bill?
Ernest Borgnine was the co-star of Airwolf, along with the late Jan Michael Vincent. Ernest Borgnine played Dominic Santini, the not-so-great Santini. Also in the cast, Alex Cord.
Yeah, who is that?
Alex Cord was in a bunch of TV-made movies in the 70s. He was also on shows like Night Gallery. You'd see him a lot. But he was in a bunch of movies that all had similar plots where he fell asleep, and then when he woke up, it was 1,000 years later.
Really?
Did you ever see movies like that?
In the 70s? Yes, I have. Yes.
He was in almost every movie where that ever happened, where he was a guy who had a toothache, and he went to the dentist, and the dentist put him under, and then when they woke him up, it was the year 3000, and he had to adapt to the new world.
Wow, he was typecast, wasn't he?
He was always in that movie. I used to do an impression of him when I was in grade school, and I have to be honest, most second graders were not up on their Alex Cord.
I can't imagine.
So it didn't always go well. All right, that's it for today's show, everybody. Hope you enjoyed yourselves. Have a great weekend. We'll come back and do this again on Monday, so be here for that. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.